Welcome back to the MJA podcast, hosted by Kate Swinnell. The release today of the 2019 MJA Lancet Countdown Report comes in a week of unprecedented bushfire emergencies in New South Wales and Queensland. Are the frequency and intensity of these fires connected to climate change? According to our special guest today, the answer is an unequivocal yes. Associate Professor Paul Beggs is an environmental health scientist from the Macquarie University. He is also a lead author of the MJA Lancet Countdown Report.
It's been a pretty mixed year. I'm suspecting that at this point, with all that's going on around New South Wales and Queensland at the moment, it feels more like a bad year than a good one. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. This year, we're lined up for a really hot summer, and we're already seeing the impacts of the current climate conditions in terms of the bushfires around Australia. And as we speak, there's terrible forecasts for tomorrow for the whole Sydney region. So that's a really big concern, I think, for obviously the people in Sydney, but also the country as a whole. How do we manage these climate-related extreme events, not only in the future, but also now?
Is it unbelievably frustrating? But how do you feel when there's still so much opposition, both politically and out there in some academia, about this being climate change related and whether climate change is actually playing any part in this at all?
I suppose to deal with the second part of that question first, I don't think there is a lot of opposition in academia. I think academia and Australia's scientific community is pretty much united in saying that climate change is here with us at the moment, and pretty much everything is related to climate change one way or the other. We're now living in a changed climate, that is very clear to us, and that means that even the bushfires that we're seeing at the moment will in one way or the other be related to climate change. We don't know how much, and we don't know the nature of that relationship necessarily, but we know that climate change will be having an impact on what's happening around us at the moment. So I suppose coming back to the first part of your question, and that is, I suppose, the political setting that we have at the moment, yes, it is very frustrating. I think it's very sad as well. I think Australia is really missing out on some great opportunities. If the national government, the Australian government, was more willing to accept climate change and what we need to do to address it, then I think there are some great opportunities that can be gained, you know, through addressing climate change. And some of those relate to human health. So things like more sustainable transport means that we not only address the issue of climate change, but we also have a healthier population. They're exposed to less air pollution. They may be walking or riding their bikes more. So there's a whole range of co-benefits, we call them, addressing climate change.
Does it even matter anymore what's causing the climate change? I mean, there's an awful lot of hang-up on the fact that humans have caused it or accelerated it. Does that even matter anymore?
Yes, it does. Okay. So we can't take our eye off the ball in terms of what is causing climate change, and that is burning fossil fuels. So we need to phase out coal. We need to put far more emphasis on renewable energy. So that's really something that the Australian government needs to do a lot more of moving into the future, and it's very urgent that they do it now. So I think we need to very much keep in mind what is causing climate change, but at the same time, we need to also start to adapt, so start to plan for the climate change that is with us now and that will be with us to some extent into the future. So I think, yeah, we need to plan, we need to adapt. So it's, I suppose, a process of doing what we can to reduce the extent of climate change, so mitigate climate change, but also to recognise that it is with us now and we need to also modify our systems, our processes and so on. So yeah. Things like emergency management is a great example of that. We need to recognise that the nature of fires is changing with climate change. So their severity, their frequency and so on. So we need to anticipate that, understand that and then put in appropriate processes so that we can address them as best we can.
Whenever we publish something on climate change, not so much in the journal, but particularly in Insight, for example, which is the journal's news magazine. Whenever we publish something on climate change, we always get naysayers, and they have two arguments. One is that Australia's emissions are so minute compared with China, etc., India. Even if we did become climate change policy leaders, it would make no difference at all, so why should we bother?
I suppose because we're a wealthy, developed country and we should be showing leadership on this issue. We do emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, so we are contributing to climate change. That may be less than the contribution of some other countries, but I think per capita we have a very significant emission of CO2 into the atmosphere. So I think we do need to address this issue within Australia. We do need policy change. We need very active mitigation of climate change. And I think, again, Australia is missing out on the opportunity to really lead in this area. And I think people maybe forget that we were a leader in some respects in this area a decade or two ago. And I think we no longer have the moral high ground. We're now in a race for the bottom in some ways. And I think our political leaders could be really amazing, great people if they did a lot more in this area. They could show the way. And as I said, there's a whole lot of co-benefits. So if you simply want to look at the economics of addressing climate change, we will be better off economically if we address it rather than ignoring the issue.
Because that economic argument is the other one that gets thrown back at anything we ever do on this. And that is that, you know, how dare we attack industries that are keeping poor people in India out of poverty? How dare we try and shut down industries that are basically keeping people from starving?
That's obviously something that we need to be mindful of. Again, I don't think the solution to climate change is putting people out of work. I think the solution to climate change is actually putting people in work. And I think the report that we're putting out this year looks at, for example, at employment in the renewable energy sector. And we show that jobs are increasing significantly in that sector. So that's a solution to climate change and it's employing people. So I think here in Australia, we're actually giving people jobs in the renewable energy sector, jobs that were not there, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. So, and that's just the start of it. We've got massive opportunities in Australia to further grow that area, renewable energy, and there will be thousands and thousands of jobs in that sector. So I think we're not proposing that we do this transition without looking after the people in those areas that will be affected. So obviously that's where the Australian government can really use its influence and make sure that we do this quickly, but also do it and look after those people that will be impacted one way or the other.
We're chatting today with Associate Professor Paul Beeks from the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at Macquarie University. The 2019 MJA Landsat Countdown Report is available at mja.com.au, where it is permanently open access.
Since the 2018 report, what's the good news?
So I think there's a number of good things that have happened over the past year or so. I just mentioned one of them, and that is growth in employment in the renewable sector. So I think that's a really promising sign. Another really promising thing that happened this year, I suppose, related to the publication of the MJA Lancet Countdown last year, is that the Australian Medical Association, the AMA, recognised climate change as a health emergency and used the Lancet Countdown and the MJA Lancet Countdown 2018 reports as the foundation or the background to that statement. So I think that was a really powerful statement for the AMA to make this year. And hopefully that will be, you know, the sign of further action in this area. So I think that was another positive thing that has happened. There's also other things. The Western Australian government is showing leadership in this area at the moment. So the government of Western Australia is currently holding a climate health inquiry. So I think they're taking climate change and health very seriously in Western Australia. And we look forward to the outcomes of that inquiry sometime next year. So I think, yes, there's a number of positive things happening. Many of those are at state level or even local government level. There is some leadership being shown in Australia, but it's at the state or territory level.
So the bad news is that at federal level, nothing much is happening.
I think, yep, we had to come up with an overall conclusion. That would be the case.
Is it going to take a federal election and a change of government? Is it going to take a sort of major 180-degree shift in the people who matter in the federal government to get this done? And if so, how do we get that shift happening?
That's a good question. I think it would be nice to think that a change of government would solve this problem, but I'm not actually convinced that that's the case. I think we need to go with the government that we've got and hold them to account. And
yes.
I think that's happening around Australia and around the world as we speak. We can't keep on holding out for the next government to solve this problem and to start to act on climate change. We need to say to our current government, you have a responsibility to address this issue. You have a responsibility to act on climate change, to mitigate climate change, to adapt to climate change, and you need to do it urgently. You need to do it now. So I think it's a matter of holding them to account and making them responsible. And I think the current government could, do a huge amount in terms of addressing climate change. Hopefully, the reports that we put out through the MJA will help with that. If we can make it clear that there are very serious health consequences of climate change. Hopefully, the government seeing that it's not just various, other sectors that are going to be impacted, it's actually people's health, then maybe that will be one of the things that prompts them into further action.
Are you happy, Paul, with the way the media are holding the government to account? Are you happy with the way the media is joining in this fight or not?
We actually look at media exposure of the issue in the report because we look at public and political engagement in climate change and health. And I think the media, in some respects, does a great job, but I think there's a lot more scope for them to be active in this area. Media exposure of climate change and health has decreased in recent years. There is scope for greater exposure of climate change and human health. And I don't know what the reasoning would be for the media sort of taking a soft approach on climate change at the moment. In some ways, now is the time to be making it very clear that extreme events like bushfires are related to climate and climate change. That's a fact. So I think if the media and the Australian community is concerned about bushfires, they also need to be concerned about climate change because the two are linked. Climate change will make bushfires more frequent and more severe, and our report shows that. We look at bushfire exposure. This is a new indicator in the report this year, and we show that wildfire exposure in Australia has increased in just the past 20 years, and that's objective data. We look at remotely sensed bushfires and population density, and so it's very clear that our exposure to bushfires is increasing as time goes on. The media does have a role to play here, and it needs to sort of look at the information, make the link, and make sure that our politicians are acknowledging those links and responding to them.
Assuming the federal government continues to do what it's doing, i.e. not much, could it all get done at the state and local levels?
We need action at all levels of government in Australia.
Yeah.
I don't think we can move into the next decade or two or three just with the states and local government acting on this issue. It's wonderful that they're taking leadership and they need to show leadership, but I think we do need national coordination on this issue as well. And there are some things that are beyond the control of the states and territories and local government. So I think we need the state and local level to continue their great work where that's happening. But the national government won't get away with ignoring the issue. We need that national action as well as the action at the state and local level as well. The drought that is currently gripping Australia will be a function of both climate variability and climate change. So we can't separate any event from climate change these days, I don't think. Climate change will be playing a role one way or the other. So I think we're beyond saying, oh, is that partly related to climate change or not? Everything is related to climate change now. We do live in a warmer world. That's a fact. So simply living in a warmer world where the climate is different already means that climate extremes will also be different one way or the other. So the current drought will be related one way or the other to climate change, but also climate variability. Thank you very much.
All right, mate. Take care. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.